David, would you join me up here, please? Or, I'm sorry, a little early. Yeah, well, come on up. I already called you up. And then Gordon's going to come and bring us your selected reading for this morning. So some of you were expecting a short, stout man named Spud Murphy this morning. But we don't have him this morning. We've got David Charlton this morning. I'm afraid we're going to have to reschedule Spud for later this year. He couldn't be with us, but I was scrambling what to do for this morning because I know you didn't want to listen to me again. So somebody recommended I give David a ring, and I talked to you, I don't know, was it Tuesday or something like that? I rang you, and you were telling me how you had a busy day yesterday. You weren't sure you're going to be able to make it with us today, but you very graciously rang me back and agreed on such short notice to be with us this morning. We're so glad that you're here. So some folks you know already here, and they know you, but just for the sake of those of us who aren't familiar with you, just tell us a little bit about where you're from and what God has you doing right now in your life.
Thank you very much for allowing me to come. My name is David Charlton. I'm a builder from Kilkeel, and I'm married to Hazel. We have four grown-up kids, and we have 2 3/4 grandchildren. Wow. And I was involved with Fields of Life. I was a director for around 20 years. I've just retired this year, and I want to thank you folk for the amazing legacy that has come from here and from Mara Lynn. Millions of people have been, are being, will be blessed because of Fields of Life. I've led teams out pretty much every year. I'm a builder. We take building teams out. And it's just incredible what God has done through the people in Africa, but also the people going out in teams whose lives have been changed. It's just been incredible. I've been a Boys Brigade captain for 33-odd years. I've retired from that as well. And I've just finished the diocesan evangelist course, a 2-year course, and it's a kind of a new chapter. So what I'm doing right now is recovering from the course. It was seriously hard. I left school when I was 15, and to sit and have to do 19 essays in 2 years, plus all the other things. I've had a tough year in the family. I've lost my dad. My dad died in February. My dad's cousin, a man who worked with us all my life, he died in April, and my brother John was buried this day 5 weeks ago. So it's been a tough year.
Well, let's just pray for you right now, David. Holy Father, we thank you for our brother David. We thank you for his willingness to serve you this morning. And Father, we pray for him and his family, Lord, as they continue to go through grieving over all of their lost loved ones, Lord. Bless them with your spirit and your healing, Lord, in their lives. And Father, we thank you so much for what you have done already through David with Fields of Life and everything else, Lord. And we do pray that you continue to prosper that ministry, Lord. And Lord, I pray a blessing on David's building projects, Lord, and his business, Lord, that you just continue to pour out your blessings on him that way, Lord, as he continues to be faithful, doing your work and sharing of what you've put into his hands, Lord. And Lord, for this new chapter in his life of being a diocesan evangelist, Lord, continue to just open up the doors and opportunities for him to share the good news and the love that you have given him to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning's Bible reading can be found in Daniel chapter 9. You'll find it in the Pew Bibles at page 894. Daniel 9, beginning at verse 1, Daniel's prayer. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who loved him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing ever has been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and turn your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people a subject of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear our prayers and the petitions of your servants. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because you are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and for your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be to rebuild the streets with a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm sure you thought that was a strange Bible reading from the book of Daniel. You've maybe never heard that read in church. We know about Daniel in the lion's den. We know about Daniel interpreting the dream of the king. We know about Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace. But we don't often go on past chapter 6 in Daniel. But there's amazing teaching in this passage. We really need God's help today, because some of these things are hard to understand. And let's just pray that God would really open his word to all of us today. Lord, we have come to do the best thing we can. Lord, we've come to worship you this morning. And Lord, we pray, Lord, you would, Lord, break open your word to us. Lord, your word is life. And Lord, we need more life. So Lord, please, in these moments, Lord, open your word, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen. Are we nearly there yet? We've all heard that. Are we nearly there yet? And it's a kind of a childish question. When you're going in the car with your kids, are we nearly there yet? But as Christians, it's not a childish thing at all. It's something we need to consider. Are we nearly there yet? This chapter 9 of Daniel, some commentators call this the backbone of the book. Verse 27 alone, if you have your Bible, just maybe open your Bible if you have one, please. We're going to be looking at different parts. Verse 27 alone, there's enough fuel there for days of study. And whenever we join chapter 9, that's what Daniel is actually doing. Daniel is reading the scriptures. He's reading a scroll from the prophet Jeremiah. Daniel is now in his 80s. He's a civil servant. He's worked under different regimes. And he's no longer the handsome, outstanding young man who left Jerusalem and was taken to Babylon as a teenager. But the one thing that does remain in Daniel's life, and it's very striking about Daniel, is his devotion to God and his devotion to his own people, God's people. Daniel is reading a scroll from Jeremiah the prophet. Daniel is a prophet, and he's reading another prophet's scroll. And this is part of what Daniel was reading when we join chapter 9. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Life's a journey. Life's a journey with a beginning, the journey part, and an end. The Christian life is a journey. There's a beginning. It's the Christian part. We live And then, for the Christian, we leave this scene of time and we carry on in God's presence. Life is a journey. Did I ever ask you lately or say to you, do you remember that there? We did that. How many years ago was that? And you say, oh, it was 3 or 4. And no, they say it's been 9. And that's what I think has happened to Daniel here. Daniel's got caught out with time. And as Daniel's reading the scriptures, he realizes that Jeremiah's prophecy is only 2 years away from happening. They're in the 68th year in Babylon. He and his people were not right with God. There was a problem. Today in our world, there's a drive to make sure that we don't offend. It's called political correctness. It tries to guide us away from saying things that will cause offense. In some places, a manhole is no longer called a manhole. It's called a utility hole. The BBC and one of their programs has dropped the use of the terms before Christ, BC, and Anno Domini, AD, calling it before era and common era. Easter eggs have been called spring spheres and Christmas tree holiday trees. But Daniel had a different form of PC, which had nothing to do with political correctness. But having taken God's word seriously, he realized that he and his people had a major problem with sin, and it was offensive to God. Daniel's PC has already been told this morning, prayer and confession. That was Daniel's PC. As Anglicans, we love to start our services with confession. By prayer and confession, he asked for God's help and God's forgiveness, because he knew he and his people weren't worthy to go home. Where are you at in your journey? My brother took ill on Wednesday, and he died on Friday. A few weeks before, I sat him down. We were just sitting talking one night. I said, John, how are you? John, how are you spiritually? Well, he says, I only go to church once on a Sunday. I said, John, it's not about that. I said, John, how are you spiritually? John, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you're going? That night, John rededicated, recommitted his life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Recently, I went to the doctor for a checkup, an MOT, and he tested my heart. He listened to it, and then he sent me for an ECG, and he wired me up to a machine, and a roll of paper came out, and it was taken to the doctor, and he looked at it, and he was happy, and I was very happy. And this is where we turn now in our Bibles to verse 4. And we have a printout of Daniel's heart. I got a printout of my heart. My doctor looked at it, and it was very dead on. But now we have a printout of Daniel's heart. And Daniel gets a fantastic report. Not from a doctor, but from God Almighty. The report is delivered by Gabriel, the special messenger. A report that all of God's children would love to get. Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have to come to tell you, for you are greatly esteemed. Do you feel greatly esteemed by God today? Do you feel greatly loved by God today? That's the relationship that God wants us to have with him. Greatly loved. To maintain that relationship, Bible reading, what Daniel was doing, prayer and confession are essential. The prophecy that Daniel was given is one of the most important messages ever given. 2 years after this prophecy, the King Cyrus of Persia, he signed a decree allowing the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, just as Jeremiah had written. Verses 24 to 26 of chapter 9, look forward not for 2 years, but 2,000 plus years described as the 77s. The time scale is further broken down into 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Here a 7 represents 7 years. So 70 times 7 equals 490 years. This is hard to understand. Stay with me. The first 7 or 49 years in verse 25 speaks of the restoration and rebuilding of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been leveled by the Babylonians. Even though God's people had returned to Jerusalem in Daniel's day, they were not allowed to rebuild. They had to get permission to rebuild Jerusalem. And nearly 100 years later, Nehemiah poured out his heart to King Xerxes and about the terrible condition of Jerusalem, and permission was given, and the walls were rebuilt. And that concluded the first block of 7 sevens, 49 years. The next block of sevens is in verse 26. It's 62 sevens, a time scale of 434 years. And this predicts something really amazing, truly amazing. Verse 26 says this: after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The anointed one will be cut off and have nothing. I like the King James Version's description here. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That 62 sevens predicted the crucifixion of Jesus. The Messiah will come and lay down his life for sin and for sinners. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This revelation given to Daniel predicted the Messiah coming. How many sevens were there? How many did he predict? How many did 70. Somebody say 70. That's the right answer. 70. There were 70 sevens. If we add up the 7 and the 62, that brings us up to 69. So there's one 7 still to come. We are living in the period of the last 7. There's one left until Jesus comes again. The last part of verses 26 and 27 are yet to be fulfilled. But this prophecy is so significant that even Jesus referred to it. Jesus spoke about it to his disciples. Matthew 24. If you want to turn to Matthew 24. In my Bible it's entitled Signs of the End of the Age. The disciples asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its buildings. Jesus said, do you see all of these? He asked, I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. The temple in the Old Testament temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. 70 years after Jesus' death, the temple was destroyed again. The temple has never been rebuilt where it originally was. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed, for such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. I drove here today through the mountains, through Banbridge, up into Lurgan, down this road. And whenever I saw the garage roadside, isn't it? I knew I was here. And what Jesus is saying here, the journey of life, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, there's going to be earthquakes and all these things. But whenever you see this next bit, that's the roadside garage. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. In other words, it's close. You're close. Whenever we see roadside garage, we're close. Whenever we see this, verse 27 of Daniel 9, we're close. From what is written in other chapters, we know that the Antichrist will come. He's the boastful horn. If you read back into chapter 7 of Daniel, this boastful horn rises up. And he's the one spoken of there. The Bible tells us, verse 27 says, he will make a covenant with many for 1 7, for 7 years. He will make a covenant for 1 7. But he will break the covenant halfway through. A world ruler who will be very popular. He will say what people want to hear. He'll be very persuasive, or she will be very persuasive, and deceive many. They will speak peace to Israel. Everybody will be so glad that there's peace in Israel at last. But halfway through, 3.5 years, he will break the treaty with Israel. He will turn on God's people. Look at verse 26b, the last part of verse 26. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. He will set himself up, or she will set herself up, to be worshipped. And that is the abomination that causes desolation that Jesus described in Matthew 24:15. Daniel tells us he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. There is no sacrifice and offering in Jerusalem today, or yesterday, or last week, or next week, because the temple hasn't been rebuilt. The temple has still to be rebuilt. But whenever you go home, you get a chance, on your iPad or wherever, put in the new temple in Jerusalem, and you can see what it's going to look like, because they have the plans for it. It's not done yet. It's not built yet. You can see a virtual temple sitting where it is going to be. The altar is already built. It's already made, waiting for the new temple to be built. I don't know where we're at on the 70th. How close we are to the roadside garage, if you know what I mean. But Jesus said this. No one knows. No one knows in Matthew 24:36. No one knows about the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and another one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know at what day our Lord will come. Are we ready? Are you ready to go home? Yesterday morning, I have a wee boat and I put it into Kilkeel Harbour. And yesterday morning, at 6:30, I knew it would be high water, high tide, to put my boat into Kilkeel Harbour. You needed high water to put the boat in. I didn't sit up all night wondering and worrying, will the tide come in? Because I knew nothing can stop the tide coming in. The same thing with the second coming. We don't need to be worried about it, because it is going to happen. We are living in amazing days. Some people may say, David, that sounds frightening. But if you love Jesus with all your heart, if you've given him your life, your past, your today, and your tomorrow, and you're living above all to love and serve and please him, these are lovely words. John chapter 14. Christian, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. You know the way. Thomas said, Lord, we don't. We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you come to the Father through the Son? Will you make ready today and know God's salvation? Know God's peace in your life? Folks, study this for yourself. Get a commentary. Seek teaching. Tell others. Yesterday I was at a funeral. And this was the last verse of one of the hymns. This is the Christian's testimony. No guilt in life. No fear of death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here, in the power of Christ, I stand. Are you ready? Because the tide of the second coming, like the tide in Kilkeel Harbour, is unstoppable. No one can stop it. No government, no terrorist, no religion. The tide's coming. Life's a journey. I have a wee book here called Journey into Life. If you've never made that decision to say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to forgive my sin and give me a whole new start. If you've never done that, there's a wee prayer that I'm going to pray it in a minute or two. If you've done it and you're a wee bit unsure, you're like, or John, I'm not just sure. Recommit your life to Jesus today and make a new start. Does that make sense? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. Lord, as we turn to this little book, Journey into Life, there's a prayer at the end. And Lord, I want you to use this for someone here today. Maybe someone here today wants to give their heart and their life and their all to you for the first time, or maybe to rededicate, recommit, because we all leak. And Lord, we need you. If you want to pray that prayer, please Say these words unto yourself. Lord Jesus Christ, I know I have sinned in my thoughts and words and actions. There's so many good things I have not done. There's so many sinful things that I have done. I am sorry for my sins and turn from everything I know to be wrong. You gave your life upon the cross for me. Gratefully, I give my life back to you. Now I ask you to come into my life. Come in as my Savior to cleanse me. Come in as my Lord to control me. And I will serve you all the remaining years of my life in complete obedience. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please see me after the service. I'll be at the door, I think. And just ask me for one on the way out. There's folk here would love to pray with you, to give you that assurance that Jesus wants you to have today. Amen.